you very much for welcoming me here to speak. I thought I'd start off. So I'm a big student of history, and I often think the weight of history can teach us many things. And we hear a lot of people talk about Big Bang moments in history, and I think they miss out one of the first ones, which happened here in 1852, which was the creation of the world's first modern patent office. And that ushered in the 1850s, the first wave of international foreign investment. We had Siemens, Colt, and Goodyear setting up in the UK. Proof that I think as a nation, we've never shied away from exposing British industries to the rigors of international competition. Now, I work for the Department for Business and Trade, as it's been said. Our job, our mandate is very much around bringing skills and capital into the UK. I head our investor relations team, and I oversee our relationships with the international capital markets. And that's what I wanted to focus my talk on, is on how we're bringing global capital into the UK and making our innovation ambitions a reality. So part of my job is also speaking at events around the world to give the UK sales pitch. And this is definitely not going to be the UK sales pitch, because this is Team UK PLC already. And this is an audience, hopefully, where we can be really honest about what the problems are and what the ideas are of how to fix them. And my first observation is that the global race for capital is only going to get fiercer. Achieving net zero in the UK, we anticipate it's going to cost 50 to £60 billion per year. That includes £200 billion for decarbonising heat and buildings, £220 billion for decarbonising transport. Then you've got the additional funds needed for water utilities needing a generational upgrade, innovation, the new nuclear fleet, and ultimately that requirement for capital is only going to grow, which sort of leads me to a conclusion that this rough consensus that we've had in the UK for the last 40 years of a relatively laissez-faire market model is drawing to a close, and is drawing to a close around the world. And we may be looking at a next 40 years, which is much more highly interventionist, because it needs to be to manipulate that flow of capital and skills into the areas where it wants it to be. And that's sort of before we get to that, and that's driven by the factors of geopolitics, net zero, regulation of AI, all requiring a stronger role for government. And you know, we're not even getting to things like COVID or Brexit. And in that global race for capital, our international competitors we know are moving strongly, and they're often able to pull together a much more compelling and coherent offer than we are. I remember when I was posted out to Nairobi, I had a French diplomat tell me a story of a major commercial win that they had for Total. And 12 months later, the Louvre hosted an exhibition on the art and culture of this country. And that just shows you the ability that they have to bring together their soft power offering with their economic diplomacy in a mix that is essentially unheard of. And maybe that's a stretch ambition for the UK to get to. So that's the sort of muscular competition that we have, I think, around the world is led by nation states. And it leads me to the conclusion that we as government and industry are going to need to get much better at collaborating together if we're going to get the UK's message across. The second thing I wanted to say was about the UK's capital markets. So my job is mostly engaging with the global capital markets, but to understand the global capital markets, you've got to understand the UK's capital markets and where we're deficient on capital and why. And I think the truth is that the UK's institutional investor market is relatively subscale for what it should be for an economy of its size. We have our base of pension funds that defined benefit pension funds we know are shifting into a lower risk strategy or shifting onto annuities. Defined contribution funds are steadily consolidating, but maybe yet to build up that institutional scale or in-house capability. And the Mansion House reforms are a part of addressing that. And if you look at the City of London, and if you look at global, the largest allocators into specific asset types, you'll see that there's a big lack of UK funds at the top of the list. There isn't a single UK fund that's in the top 90 globally for real estate allocations. There isn't a single top 20 UK infrastructure fund. There isn't a single top 40 UK world VC fund, which is which is British. And ultimately, a lot of that is driven by the fact that we have a largely a public pay pension system, and we've been yet to build up the institutional resources of some of the other nations that, that we're dealing with in terms of their innovation office. We'd welcome thoughts on that, by the way, because I think you know, a lot of other people will have views. I did hear a statistic, which I'd be interested if anyone else has heard this, that if we had set aside funding for the if all of the funds that had been set aside for the NHS pension scheme were sort of still live and in a pension scheme, you'd have a £1 trillion pension scheme. And it makes me wonder of what the impact that would have been to the UK's innovation ecosystems, the listing market, the London Stock Exchange, etc. So I wanted to touch on a third observation, which is the global capital markets. So I think in the medium term, things are looking fairly positive. Many of our donor markets of capital which come into the UK are experiencing booms in their pension markets. So in the US, Canada and Australia, they have growing pension markets. The Australian pension funds are forecast to double in size over the next 10 years because of member contributions and the performance of their underlying asset base. And at the same time, those pension funds have less places to invest because many of them are withdrawing or changing their allocations to emerging markets. So my view is that the size of the pie for the UK and potentially our slice of the pie for global capital markets funding should increase, which looks positive. And that means more players in the UK, more liquidity in the UK, more secondary market offerings for companies, more money coming into the listing system, more money coming into the VC system, but also creates challenges in having a capital market system where we have particular reliance on international capital. A really good example of this is the real estate market. 96% of real estate transactions in the City of London have international capital at the table. I've not seen the statistics that I've heard are that drops down to around 75% in London, and in the regions, it's around 5 to 10%. And in a nutshell, that shows one of the challenges of leveling up is trying to broaden out that base of global capital to make it go into to other parts of the UK and shift away from its bias towards prime locations. So I wanted to say a couple of sort of hypotheses of things which I think we're doing already or we need to be doing more of to work with the global capital markets. So my first hypothesis is that we should be creating the conditions for global capital to participate in the UK. And I think a really good example of that is happening now at the Prime Minister's lead, which is being a regulation setter. So with the AI summit at Bletchley, the UK was able to bring together actors from around the world, even those who aren't necessarily like-minded, were able to come to the table and hopefully set the momentum going for global agreements around AI. And that's not the only place that we're trying to set the standards for regulation. We're doing it as well in areas like critical minerals, fusion energy, SMRs, quantum. And I think that shows leadership for the UK, but it also shows initiative. If we can grasp the benefits of being a regulation setter rather than a regulation taker, that's going to have knock-on impacts down the line. The second thing is, we need to take the UK's message out to the global capital markets in a creative way. So a lot of my job is thinking about how we can position the UK favorably with future funding sources. So we're doing a lot of work with the Australian pension fund industry. We've had three Australian pension funds open up or set their ambitions to open in the UK in the last 2 years. But there's still potentially a next 10. We're working with several US university endowments who we think have potential to allocate more into the UK to open up funds and offices here, US state level pension funds. Even places like the Brazilian pension fund industry have tremendous institutional capital resources, but have constraints on how that capital can flow. So there's a lot of positive markets that we need to be working with, and we are. And we have a great story to tell of venture capital funds moving to the UK. Just in the last several years, since 2020, we've had Sequoia, General Catalyst, Andreessen Horowitz. We have NEA, which is just going to be doing its formal launch, we think, next year, and IVP and Bessemer. So you've had six of the world's largest six VC funds have set up in the UK since the last election. And that's actually a really tremendous accomplishment, I think, and is going to bring more capital and skills to bear. And then the last thing that I wanted to touch on, just because I know we're in a room with so many innovators and people that work with the university ecosystem, and this is, I suppose, to lodge a thought rather than to give a sort of a proposal. But I sort of wonder of, a lot of focus has been on the UK's rejoining of Horizon, which I think is going to bring lots of benefits. But there's also been, as far as I can see from my perspective, a revolution in the way that universities are approaching technology transfer and the approaches that they have to the shares that they're taking in spin-outs and making a more pro-entrepreneur, pro-spin-out environment within their universities. And I think that that idea of bringing capital to the sources of innovation and having a system that allows that capital and attracts that capital to come in is incredibly important. And the more that those universities seek to dominate a global niche, sort of select global niches, dominate global niches, that they'll be able to spin out firms who in turn can dominate their global niches and grow. And would love to hear other people's thoughts on that. So thanks very much for having me.